News is the news headline, starring Roy Hudd with Janet Bryan, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet. Thank you very much, folks, and welcome to this special Jubilee show, and a special welcome to our studio audience here in London. They've been queuing up all night with their camp beds and primer stoves. But today, in celebration, I'm going to do a Rip Van Winkle, which you can do on radio without being arrested, because for the next few minutes, we're going to take a look back over Britain during the last 25 years. I mean, just think, in 1952, John Betjeman was still an hungry young man. And as far as Elizabeth Taylor was concerned, Richard Burton was just another advanced bookie. 1952, the year in which Patrick Moore last bought a suit. That Cassius Clay was going around saying, "I'm the smallest, I'm the smallest." Then there was the sexual revolution of the 60s. Followed by the Puritan Backlash, which is another novelty they can't take you for on radio. The Set, or Kenneth Tynan, as it was then called. Good laugh at the pendulums there, yeah. Remember all the fuss about whether Lady Chatterley's lover was a dirty book? Do you remember all that, Ed? Mine certainly was, after everyone in our street had had a go at it. Do you remember how people laughed at the idea that the Queen would give the MBE to the Beatles? But then they laughed at Jimmy Tarbuck, didn't they? And then there was Carnaby Street, where they used to take your inside leg measurement for a tie. And then there were some changes on the political front. We had the rise and fall of Harold Wilson, a man who of all the politicians of the period was far and away the best. The further away, the better. And of course it was his lot who brought in decimalisation under Jim Callaghan. Jim said that only the very slow-witted and stupid would have any difficulty handling the new money, didn't he? And Dennis Healy proved it. But we've still got the monarchy, and don't forget, there are lots of poor countries in the world that would love to be able to afford a monarchy. Like Great Britain, for instance. Still, it's nice to have something to celebrate, isn't it? All those beacons and everything, apparently two astronauts were going over the country and looked down and saw all the beacons lighting up. And one turned to the other and said, "Is that England down there?" The other one said, "Yes, why?" He said, "I thought so. First they try and ruin the country with strikes, unemployment, inflation, taxation and debt, and now the fools are trying to set fire to it." And now it's time for the Hudline Jubilee Open Wine. And here to mar the occasion is the chairman of the post office.
Good evening. First, if I may, I'd like to announce to members of the public that we're bringing out a special Jubilee telephone with some rather special features.
A Royal Jubilee telephone? Well, what's unusual about it?
Well, it costs £5.5 million a year to run, and you have to wait 25 years to get one.
Oh, I see. And can we have the first caller, please?
Hello? Everyone in the house is round about. When I say that decorating our street for the Jubilee has brought us all much closer together.
How's that, madam?
Well, it's been raining and the bunch in the trunk.
Next caller, please.
Hello, this is the chairman of the Inner London Education Authority here. Instead of frittering away all this money on celebrations, we should be spending more money on education. You know that due to bad teaching, 50% of our children can't add up properly.
Really?
Yes, and the other 85% aren't much good either.
Next, Charlotte, please.
Princess Anne here.
Oh. Oh, good evening, Your Royal Highness.
As one is doubtless aware, one is expecting a royal child in the near future.
Oh, yes, and congratulations to Your Royal Highness. Has one decided on a name?
One has. If it's a boy, he will be named after his father. If it's a girl, after me.
Indeed?
Yes. We will call him either Mummy or Daddy.
Next caller, please.
Good evening. 25 years, eh? I think it's lasted all that time.
permanent, indomitable, impossible to ignore. No matter how bad things get, no matter how terrible matters become, no matter how awful everything is, it's always been there and always will be, I expect.
You're a supporter of the monarchy, are you?
No, I'm the producer of Sussex.
And the next caller, please.
Oh, Jimmy.
Hello?
This is the chairman of the Scottish Nationalists here. I'd just like to say that as a demonstration of loyalty to Her Majesty, and after 6 months' fundraising campaign, we presented the Queen with a 50-piece Jubilee dinner set.
50-piece?
Aye, a box of toothpicks.
Yes, Donna, please.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
I have 4 kinds of cake at our Jubilee soup party yesterday.
Did you? What kind?
Plum cake, fruit cake, cheesecake, and summer cake.
Well, up and down the country this week, everyone has been holding their revels. I blame the cold weather myself. It doesn't melt in the hand. And well, it seems that nowhere has escaped the traditional street parties. Not even Downing Street. Well, it's a nice day for it, Mr. Callahan.
Maybe, but let's get on with the party first, eh? I must say, old Downing Street's looking nice, Matthews.
Yes.
I sent Dennis Healy away to smarten the place up, you know.
Yes, and sending him away certainly has smartened it up there. Oh, no, sir, look out, I think he's back.
Oh, hello. Oh, I do feel full of the Jubilee spirit today, everyone. I've already got my eyebrows out with bunting look. And as a special confession, I've given my brain the day off.
Never mind, no one will notice, Mr. Healy.
Oh, Drake, where's all that food?
Well, Charlie Williams has got a couple of samples.
Oh, I wouldn't say they're that small. Oh, I see what you mean, yes. Well, here, I tell you what, where's that cake Dennis baked?
Oh, Mr. Callahan, oh dear, I'm afraid it seems to have flopped in the oven. Oh, no, that's deliberate. You see, under my new wage policy, nothing will be allowed more than a 10% raise.
Yeah, but surely that doesn't apply to a nutty little fruitcake.
It applies to all members of the TUC.
Well, I'll have a slice anyway.
Would anyone care for some soft little food?
Well, now then, Aldis, let's leave the liberals out of this, shall we?
Too late, dear. Here comes David Steele.
That's a little party you've got here, Jim.
Not as little as yours.
Oh, do come out with them. Here.
Haven't you got a Jubilee party of your own today, sir?
Yes, as a matter of fact, our deputy leader is throwing one.
Pardon?
I said, as a matter of fact, our deputy leader is throwing one. I haven't lots of sports in here. We've already got hold of the Lord of Football.
Oh, Michael Foote's written another speech about judges, has he?
I'm afraid so, and we've got some splendid party games like the Railway Driver's Knock.
Railway Driver's Knock?
Yes, it's the same as Poisson's Knock, only you go all the way using 6 changes of crew.
Highly satirical, David. Well, I suppose we must be grateful for one thing. That awful Thatcher woman hasn't managed to get past our roadblock. I tell you what, Matthew, cut the Jubilee cake open.
Very good, sir.
Good evening.
Not now, it won't be. What do you mean by secreting yourself inside our gate?
Well, I did so want to be part of the Jubilee celebrations, Jim. And you know, I get on terribly well with Her Majesty. Only this week, she sent a telegram congratulating me on my party's latest idea.
Why, was it 100 years old?
Ah!
Oh, move over, stainless Stephen.
Your turn, Dennis. Over here. I say. Why is the pound like a lump of manure?
I don't know, Mr. Healy. Why is the pound like a lump of manure?
Because I'm Chancellor of the Exchequer. Ah, oh, it's a good... I'll write all this stuff, you know.
Mr. Keller, don't you think it's time you proposed the toast?
Oh, all right, then.
Let's have some toast.
The royal toast, sir.
Oh, bless me, of course. Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the Queen.
The Queen!
For 25 years.
It's good for a terrible job.
When you think of the coronation, what we've been through in there. Strike and fight and break, and have on to very good day. The celebrations have been so popular that stores have been running out of Jubilee souvenirs. Some shopkeepers are even saying, can you come back in 25 years? But not at the little corner shop. You know, the one that sells everything.
Well, I'll be with you in a moment, Mr. Eckersart. I've just caught the tin of creosote with my elbow. And spilled over a tin of boiled ham. There you are.
What can I do for you?
I want to pin up my Union Jack.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Have you got any sacks?
Ah, well, do you want ordinary sacks or Jubilee sacks?
What's the difference?
25 for your box.
Oh, just the ordinary ones, I'll pay for myself.
Well.
Oh, while I'm here, I'll have a quarter of that boiled ham for the wife's mother.
Is it this what?
Hey, up, you seem to have plenty of Jubilee stuff left.
Aye.
What's up? Aren't they interested around here?
Oh, aye. But most of them round here want the souvenirs with Mrs. Gandhi's picture on. Now it looks like I'm going to be left with it all.
You know what they say. Stock's as good as brass.
Aye, but who's going to be interested in 3 tons of Jubilee Rubin felt after the event, eh?
Mrs. Turner's got some and it looks all right.
Well, I didn't see it on her roof.
She hasn't got it on her roof. She's made herself one of them trouser suits.
A trouser suit made after Rubin felt?
Ah.
She'll look ridiculous.
Aye, fancy wearing trousers, is there?
Anything else, Mr. E?
Aye, I fancy summit for me tea.
What about some of this blue stilton? Eh, lad?
Blue stilton, I call it Jubilee cheese.
Aye, I remember seeing it during the coronation.
I'll hit you over the head with a photo of Mrs. Gandhi if you're not careful, lad.
I tell you what, I'll have some best polony and a loaf of brown bread.
Best polony, eh? What's up, you haven't visited?
Aye, youngest lads decided to come home on leave for holidays. You know what that means.
What?
We'll have half military police force knocking on the door.
You must be a worry to you, Mr. Eckersart.
Aye, it's the other lad I'm worried about. My wife daren't show her face at Creek Party.
Why, what's he done?
He's gone and joined Young Liberals.
The shame.
You'd think he'd have more sense at 53, wouldn't you? Well, I'm off. Ta-ra, then.
Goodbye, Mr. Eckersart. Oh, hello, Mrs. Grimes. I'll be with you in a minute. I've just caught this boiled ham with my elbow and it dropped on the floor. Right, let's drop the sawdust off now. What can I do for you?
Well, it's this Jubilee souvenir pot.
What's up with it?
Well, it's all right for me, but my husband says the seat won't stay up.
I wish I'd never purchased them Jubilees, I really do.
About that many volt back, I've had to store them all over the house, you know.
Fair makes me dizzy.
Why?
Well, I'm half an hour every morning looking for the right one. Who'd have something else instead, lad?
Well, what have you got?
Well, are you doing any baking for the street party?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm making the pig's knuckle one of them.
Hey, well, then, the Jubilee bun tin, how about that? Last one only 50p, guaranteed non-stick, non-burn, non-rust.
Well, why is it so cheap?
Well, it's got its bloody great hole in the middle, can't you see?
I don't want rubbish like that. I think I'll have something in the food line.
I'm just the thing for the last. A family-sized tin of celebration baked beans.
Special for Jubilee?
What's special about it?
You wait till you hear that 21-gun salute last night.
Hey, open
it's Mr. Reckie's dark bucket tin. Did we get something, lad?
Aye, it's this boiled ham.
Why, what's up with you?
Wife's mother says it's got a funny taste.
Funny taste? There's nothing wrong with that, mate.
It's not the mate.
What is it, then?
It's the red, white and blue varnish you painted it with. Oh.
The year 1953 and the dawn of a new Elizabethan age.
Oh, it all seems in the dim, distant past now. Think of all the things that hadn't happened then. It was the year before Roger Bannister ran the second four-minute mile. The first, of course, was run by a man at a picnic with a jam sandwich who sat on a hornet's nest. But let's cast our minds back to 1953, when Mary Whitehouse was just a twinkle in Lord Longford's eye. And people were still calling Harold Wilson Ginger. But what about the coronation itself?
And now, the coronation service over, Her Majesty, the newly crowned Queen, processes out of the Abbey, and as she now appears before her people at the West Gate, the traditional cry goes up.
Right, everybody back in the coach, let's be having you. It was almost too much of a triumph on that same day, almost as if to eclipse the coronation. From thousands of miles away came the news of the conquest of Everest.
Oh, would you believe it? Today of all days.
Would that was.
Have you heard the news, love? Yes. Everest had been conquered by a New Zealander and a Nepalese yak farmer. What a wonderful day for the British.
And do you remember who was Prime Minister?
I have agreed to stay on as Prime Minister for the time being, just until our new young Queen has found her feet. But under all those robes, it may take quite a time.
Almost immediately, the Queen took off on a tour and went to the Empire.
And after that, to the Hippodrome and did a season at the Articles Palace.
Soon, she saw her first change of political leadership when Churchill retired and Harold Macmillan became Prime Minister.
In those days, politics was an honourable profession, and the Prime Minister stood above politics. I fought a general election, but in the end I was forced to have one. but I was returned with a thumping.
A thumping majority.
Was a thumping majority.
But through his message of "you've never had it so good" couldn't drown the uproar, a scandal reared its ugly head within the Tory front ranks.
Good evening.
Not yet, mother. The whole government fell into disrepute because of one man. The party had a skeleton in its cupboard. So what could they do but make him Prime Minister? Lord Hume, or Lord Hume as he then was, succeeded as Prime Minister. Well, that's putting it a bit strong, but he had a bash at it anyway. This was was 1964 the year of uncertainty?
No, it was 1963. Or was it 64? Or even 62. Might even have been 65. But what we needed was a man who would take Britain into the 70s. I was nearly in my 70s, so I was the right man.
Then there was another election, and Sir Alec romped home to his estate in Scotland. 30 years of Tory misrule, as it was then called, came to an end, and Harold Wilson took over.
You know, people were very unkind in their criticism of me in my years as Prime Minister. They used to say there wasn't any trick I wouldn't pull to get public popularity during those years. Oh, how many years was it, Paddy? 4 years, yes. Good boy. Now get back on your trapeze and I'll join you in a minute.
Wilson was anxious to prove himself a world statesman. The single-minded resolution with which he took us in and out of Europe and then back in again was masterly. And then there was always Rhodesia.
Yes, I'll never forget those talks. Tiger, fearless. Yeah, they used to call me all sorts of things.
But on the social front, things were changing. For a start, there was the Women's Lib movement. The women were at last getting off the ground and dusting themselves off. Barbara Carter.
Well, I suppose I was really the first woman. And I mean this sincerely. The first woman to get right to the top. I paved the way and showed that this society did offer rewards to women who stuck up for themselves.
Like Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, yes, she stuck up all right.
Then came the Heath years.
Oh, life on the ocean wave, fellowship mates. You know, a lot of people got me wrong. They said I was a cold fish and found me an uninspiring, dull man. His name was Anthony Barber.
At this time over in France, the one obstacle to our entry to the common market, General de Gaulle, was larger than life. In other words, he was dead. Which left the way clear for Mr. Heath to take us in. But his years ended in crisis on the issue of who's running the country. He divided the nation into them and us. So who did run the country? Vic Feather.
Us. By that I mean them. He was us to them, but them to us. Same as we was them to us and us to them. But it was either them or us. If by them you mean us. Come to think of it, who was running the bloody country?
Well, it was Edward Heath who invented the three-day week, but didn't have a chance to introduce phase two of that policy, which was the 52-hour day. But then...
Here we are again.
Yes. Wilson served another term. And then came some staggering news in 1976.
Oh, I'll never forget that day, going over to the palace to see the Queen to discuss resignation.
But it was no good. She insisted on staying on.
And with that, Harold Wilson faded away into the limelight. But his successor, Sonny Jim Callaghan, was ready.
I want to make it quite plain that I am not a stopgap prime minister, but a world statesman with a firm grasp of foreign affairs. I'm going to lead Britain out of Egypt and into the promised land. Perhaps I'd better have another look at that map, Audrey.
This brings us up to the present day. But one influence, one steadying hand has remained serene and calm through all these turbulent years, the Queen. And now, 25 years after her accession, even Willie Hamilton has been forced to say,
okay, I know when I'm beaten.
Yes, the Jubilee has been her day, and the celebrations honor her great achievements since that coronation day, which nobody and nothing can overshadow.
I say, Mary, have you seen my pickaxe, oxygen mask, and climbing irons? I'm just going to pop off everything.
And so
the next 25 years begin, but the Jubilee celebrations will long be remembered, not least by the people who have to clear up the mess after all the people have gone home. When a crowd runs amok, somebody's got to clean it up, haven't they? They're having their own parade, you know. And here they come!
76 dust carts in the big parade. 101 dust men in the suit.
And we filled our bins with the bath and bags of tins. Took the trout for guests along the royal route.
There'd be several hundred horsemen in the big parade. Thundering, thundering, each carrying its load.
And so I took my place with my shovel just in case. Where that umpard up and down the road.
And here come the cleaners now. The first battalion of the 6th has made me. And there they go, marching on their knees with their aerosols borne proudly aloft.
He said aerosols, Mrs. Horsham. 76 little sitters in the big parade. 101 rosekeepers joined the fray.
And we filled their sacks with a million Union Jacks. And it's double time, three ducks everyone.
There were several hundred cleaners with their elbows free. You never saw the last of it, and nothing never smelled. Singing them with me.
Brooms and brushes bristling. The Mrs. Mock was sweeping down the mound.
And now here come the contingent of public convenience attendants, the balls and chains of the 99th Household Germs. This is a special relief unit brought in for the occasion, but the fact that things ran smoothly says a lot for the crowd control. And here come the hot dog trolleys.
76 hot dog trolleys marching home. 100 ice cream vans, time to start the play.
And as the march went down, we met them all head on. As their parade was shining
underway. There were 20,000 people in the mopping up. Picking up and sticking up until the rubbish clears.
For one day's celebration, but the clean-up operation is going to take us 25 more years. 76 dump carts fill the dumping dump.
1,001 tons of litter disappears.
The News Hotline, starring Roy Hargrove, Janet Brown, Chris Hammett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet. The script was written by Peter Spence and David Renwick, with Laurie Rowley and Andy Hammett. Additional material by John Keith, Colin Elliott, Reginald Widders, William Hargrove, Dan Watson, Fred Metcalf, Charles Beaver, Kenneth Rock, and Graham Bacon.
Who've been sitting up all night with promise-proven sleeping bags for a glimpse of our producer,
John Lloyd.